Sonoma County supervisors met yesterday for the first time since allegations of sexual assault against Windsor Mayor Dominic Fapoli were published in the San Francisco Chronicle. Joining us on the KSRO Live Line is Supervisor and Chair of the Board of Supervisors, Linda Hopkins. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Michelle. Good morning.
Can you tell us about the board's decision to rescind the appointment of Fapoli to the Golden Gate Bridge District?
So yesterday we voted unanimously to rescind the appointment of Dominic Fapoli to the Golden Gate Bridge District. And, it was absolutely the right thing to do. None of us had any idea the allegations that he was actually hiding at the time that he accepted the Golden Gate Bridge appointment. And that was one of the things that a few of us spoke to during the board item, was just how horrible it was that he knew that this was happening. And he, you know, was at the board meeting acting like absolutely nothing was wrong last Tuesday, a week ago. And so we unknowingly appointed him, having no idea before allegations from four different women that were about to hit the San Francisco Chronicle 2 days later. So I have to say I'm really proud of my board and of staff. We moved very quickly. We found a legal way to bring this back and to essentially rescind the appointment. And I also would give a lot of credit to Supervisor David Rabbit, who also served on the Golden Gate Bridge District and just, you know, really fought with me to make sure that we would have that agenda item as quickly as possible.
Now, is the board doing anything else in response to the allegations about Fapoli to remove him from power? Is there anything that you can do? And also to restore confidence in our local government?
I completely agree with you that, you know, this was shattering news for so many people. And unfortunately, it just breeds distrust in the community. I mean, I kind of, you know, had this certain view of the world, which is that I wouldn't find myself sitting across the table from an elected official who was a sexual predator. And that view of the world has been shattered by the news that happened. And then, you know, honestly compounded by the equally horrible news coming out about Robert Jacob, former mayor of Sebastopol. And so, you know, we're looking at what we can do in terms of action. And I think it can't just be words. It has to be action, really, to support survivors and also to see what we can do in terms of background checks before we make these appointments. And we're planning on looking at all appointments, right? Not just the appointments that we elevate to a regional level, but also who serves on our planning commission, on, you know, all of the different boards and commissions that we appoint. And so we talked about having some kind of a background check process and also having some kind of a firm anti-bullying, anti-harassment ordinance for those who worked within county government. And so we're going to be bringing those back to the board later this year. We don't really have any authority in terms of his role as a mayor of Windsor, nor does he serve on any other boards or commissions that we have appointed him to. So that was really all that we could do formally in terms of, you know, taking power away from Dominic Fapoli.
I want to switch topics now and talk about COVID-19. We had two additional deaths reported yesterday. Where are we in terms of getting a handle on the virus here in Sonoma County and getting vaccines out to the community?
You know, it's really a race against time right now. And the news about Johnson & Johnson was, you know, a big setback yesterday. We are trying to get people vaccinated as quickly as possible so that we can achieve herd immunity, especially before some of these faster moving variants, right, that can in some cases are more lethal and more contagious, take hold in our community. One of the other things that was concerning that came out in the news yesterday was the fact that we are seeing some reinfections in fully vaccinated people, and that at least a couple of those are documented variants. So, you know, we really need to try to vaccinate our public as quickly as we possibly can to reduce the spread of the disease in the community. And so especially, you know, essential workers, folks who come into high frequency contact with other human beings, that is absolutely critical to slowing the spread.
Right. Now, tomorrow, vaccines are opening up to everyone in California 16 years and older. What do you anticipate happening? Is it going to be just an opening of the floodgates? Are people going to be frustrated? What's going to happen?
You know, we have been worried for a long time about demand exceeding supply. And I think that especially with the news about Johnson & Johnson being put on hold, that we remain concerned about demand outstripping supply. But, you know, I would just say keep checking. There are, you know, websites that can help you find vaccines. And if you just check a few times a day, whether it's in between the meeting or really quickly on your phone, sometimes you are able to nab even a last minute appointment for that same day or for the next day if you're able. And I also would ask employers to really support your employees getting vaccinated. You know, if someone has last minute opportunity, please pay that person and ensure that they are able to go ahead and get their vaccine when they're able.
Right. Those appointments are happening throughout the day, 7 days a week. So making sure that an employee can leave in order to get an appointment, that would be good. And then I do want to finally just quickly ask you about your discussion on the overview of the county's emergency public notification, alert, and warning systems.
Yeah, you know, this was a really critical item, and we did actually formally approve our annex on emergency alert and warning. And Director Chris Godley says that he really believes that we are a leader in the state now in terms of emergency alert and warning. And when he says that, because he is recognized as a leader on this topic within the state, I believe him. We have come so far since 2017. And I, you know, take full responsibility. The county was completely underprepared, unprepared for an event of the magnitude that we saw in October of 2017. We failed in terms of emergency alert and warning. But the good thing is that we recognize that failure, and we have invested a tremendous amount of time and money in rectifying that and in strengthening our systems. Right now, our biggest challenge, honestly, is a public safety power shutoff and the fact that that often takes out redundant systems. So we're working with the state. We're advocating with the CPUC to ensure that there are battery backups on telecommunication systems. And we're also actively supporting additional telecommunications infrastructure, because the problem is you can't just have one system. There is no such thing as a fail-proof emergency alert and warning system. So we need to have multiple going. And we're also working on how do we, you know, expand the NOAA weather radio capacity to parts of the county that don't currently have access because of geography or topography. How can we, you know, expand the coverage of these multiple alert and warning systems? The other thing that happened yesterday was NCSL, the cost of NCSL has increased dramatically. And so we did vote to increase the funding to the sheriff's office to operate that system, because apparently now the telecom community companies are actually charging by the text message.
What?
And it's like a sent a text message for these mass text messages. So when you send out the sheriff, I can't remember what the figure was, it was like 16 million text messages a year, right? Something to that effect. It was that level. And they're being charged, and then of course NCSL is passing that cost on to the customer.
Insane. Wow. Okay. Thanks for letting us know about that. That was something I was not aware of. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Of course. Take care. Have a great morning.
That is Chair of the Board of Supervisors, Linda Hopkins.